Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Andrew Johnson of National Review, and for Jim Garrity today, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives, as usual, today. And we'll be focusing on a couple different martinis on the critical battle for control of the U.S. Senate, and that includes our good martini today. Andrew, one of the top targets for Republicans this year is obviously Arkansas Democrat Mark Pryor. The state is increasingly red. Mark Pryor is up in a very tough race against Congressman Tom Cotton. And one of the things that's dragging down Mark Pryor, of course, is his vote in support of the president's health care law back in 2009 and 2010. And surprisingly, Mark Pryor has decided to go forward with this as a positive. Here's his new ad.
When Mark was diagnosed with cancer, we thought we might lose him.
My family and my faith helped me through the rough times.
But you know what? Mark's insurance company didn't want to pay for the treatment that ultimately saved his life.
No one should be fighting an insurance company while you're fighting for your life. That's why I helped pass a law that prevents insurance companies from canceling your policy if you get sick or deny coverage for pre-existing conditions. I'm Mark Pryor, and I approve this message.
As Jim Garrity is fond of saying, you voted for it, so it's pretty hard to shy away from it now. But it's kind of fun that he doesn't actually mention what the law is or some of the other things it does.
Yeah, no, exactly. I like that he just says he voted for a law. never mind that it's perhaps, you know, the most controversial law that he's trying to run against. But it's just a law at this point. The other thing I think that's pretty telling is it's a sign of how badly things are going for the Obama administration, that the issue Democrats were once running away from the president on, they are now embracing him on, just because there's so little that they want to associate themselves with the president. So with that said, Obamacare isn't the biggest issue that it was maybe a few months ago or early in the year. There have been a lot of other things that have come up, but it's still not a winning issue. I mean, there still hasn't been a poll that has shown that Obamacare is popular among Americans, let alone in a red state like Arkansas. And so it has to be a good sign for Republicans that this is what Democrats think they now have to hang their hat on, a law that is already widely unpopular. They're not even going to mention it by name, just going to vaguely sort of associate themselves with it and hope that works. They have little else to run on at this point.
The voice you heard at the beginning is Pryor's father, former Arkansas Senator David Pryor. You almost get the feeling that he's like, Mark, you have to do this, and I'm going to sit here right next to you and make sure you do this because I'm sure you don't think it's politically smart for you to do it.
Exactly. You know, and another theme we're seeing with Democrats as of late is nepotism or continuing the family name, whether it's Begich, whether it's the Clintons even. So, I mean, they're trying to go with anything that sticks at this point, and what Obamacare, I guess, you know, is the kitchen sink.
Yeah, if Obamacare is your good plan, I'm guessing that the other options for what that ad could have done were not very appealing to the people of Arkansas. But enough with the levity for a moment. But we'll get back to it for the crazy martini. The bad martini, as many folks might suspect, is the ongoing aftermath of the horrific story of the beheading of longtime photojournalist James Foley at the hands of ISIS. The horrific video came out on Tuesday. The president responded to it in a brief statement Wednesday up at Martha's Vineyard. We found out two things following that statement, Andrew. Number one, that 15 minutes later, he was on the first tee with Alonzo Mourning and someone else in his foursome. And we also found out later in the day from government officials that there actually had been a special forces rescue attempt earlier this summer to try and rescue Foley and some of the other Americans and Westerners who are currently being held captive by ISIS. The problem is they got to the site where the intelligence suggested they were, and by that time they had been moved, so the operation was unsuccessful. So I suppose that's to let folks know that they're on top of this and they're not completely blindsided by it, but ultimately the operation failed, and the optics of a president putting on the spikes a few minutes after giving this heartrending reaction to the beheading of an American just doesn't sit well.
Yeah, and the president had been widely praised almost, I feel, across the spectrum for the comments he said regarding Foley's death. I mean, some people maybe wanted more specifics about the line of attack or what the next step would be for the administration. But overall, people thought it was very powerful. He sternly condemned the Islamic State. But then, yeah, I mean, to 15 minutes later, beyond the golf course is just widely bad optics. I think sometimes conservatives or the political media can be a little too obsessed with, you know, what people do on their vacation. Bush is always at the ranch. Obama's always golfing. Whatever. They like to relax and unwind. But this was one that you would just think somewhere, either himself or in his press shop or somewhere, would realize, you know, maybe we stay off the links today. They have to know that would get out. They have to know that would have an impact. It's definitely not a good reflection on the gravity of the situation he seemed to be portraying just, again, 15 minutes earlier. And then again, it's a little bizarre to me why they came out with the information that of the failed attempt to rescue him earlier this summer. I guess, like you said, maybe it portrays that they're on top of this. I don't know if they're just trying to score some points and, hey, look, we tried. I think it also makes our intelligence look a little perhaps incompetent to a certain degree, that they whiffed on it. Again, they're trying, and everyone is glad that they're giving it an attempt, but I'm sort of not sure what there is to gain by that other than a pat on the back.
Yeah, it's hard to know, because obviously if it had been successful, we would have heard about that, and potentially it just shows how this could be a far more difficult effort to rein in and destroy ISIS than we previously thought, if even our intelligence was unable to locate the right spot for these captives. So.
Exactly. And going back to the optics of it, I mean, the fact that they come out with this hours after, again, the president's statement, they've addressed it, they're going to go ahead and act on it, kind of seems a little political that they're trying to protect themselves, cover themselves. You know, we did everything we could. I'm not saying they should have come out with it before, because, again, that perhaps reveals something to our enemies, what we're doing, what we know and whatnot. And maybe it would have come out anyway, and they're trying to get ahead of the story. But it's just almost too bad that after the president gave such a powerful statement, that then within a matter of hours, sort of his own administration seemed to sort of, and himself seemed to sort of take these missteps. I think there's something everyone was unified behind and wanted to be unified, and then the sort of weird response to it.
Yeah, and possibly there was a huge social media blowback to the golfing, so maybe that was why they put out the information about the failed rescue attempt as well. But I guess we'll never know unless they decide to reveal the rationale behind that. All right, back to the Senate campaigns, and right now it looks like the Republicans have a pretty good chance to pick up a number of Senate seats. And the hope for the GOP, of course, is that they can get to 51, which would give them the majority. Two key races in that pursuit are to hold on to Mitch McConnell's seat in Kentucky. He's running against Allison Lundergan Grimes. And another seat is in South Dakota. It's an open seat, and former Governor Mike Rounds is expected pretty easily to defeat Democrat Rick Wyland, to the point where Harry Reid even said that seat was lost. But not helping themselves on the campaign trail the last couple of days have been Lundergan Grimes or Wyland. Here's Lundergan Grimes painfully trying to get through an explanation of how she's different than Mitch McConnell on immigration.
These and many more things are what we can accomplish if we had a senator that didn't just want to do piecemeal by piecemeal comprehensive immigration reform. 30 years. That's how long Mitch McConnell has been there. And he wants six more just to do it year by year, what many are already doing right now in the United States Senate.
Let's just talk about that one first of all. You know, you have, I don't know if she had lights, you know, like they did. This is apparently a debate. Sometimes you've got lights on the podium to see how much time you've got left, and you feel like you need to use up every second. She probably should have just given some time back there, Andrew.
I'm still trying to figure out what exactly she was getting at. She's clearly trying to attack Mitch McConnell, but then she seems to agree with him, but then she's attacking him again. So I don't know what it is, but it's not outside the norm for Allison Lundergan Grimes. I mean, she's had all kinds of gaffes, everything from not understanding what the Iron Dome is as far as the Israel-Gaza conflict. She had another sort of moment where they're asking about immigration reform, and she just dodged the question four times in an interview last month and didn't seem to understand that the question was about the border crisis and not immigration reform, just kept saying like she's for immigration reform. So I think there's probably a lot of moments maybe Allison Lundergan Grimes should give the time back.
Oh, very fun. And then over in South Dakota, and I'm not even sure what the issue is here in this clip, but Rick Wyland apparently agrees with Harry Reid that this race is pretty much over.
There are a lot of people that have issues that, including Senator Grassley, who was just in this state campaigning with Senator, or soon to be, not soon to be. That's a good gap. I'll take that back. Soon to want to be Senator Mike Rounds.
Nice recovery, Rick. Good job on that one. I think he probably understands that the deck is stacked against him at this point by looking at the polls. But that's another situation, and a lot of politicians can learn from this, Andrew. When you get into trouble with your mouth, sometimes the best is just to stop talking.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I mean, at least give him some credit, because I don't think I've ever seen Biden claim a gaffe, so to speak. And so, you know, if by some miracle he's elected and there's some 50-50, you know, tie in the Senate and Biden's the tiebreaker, maybe he can show Biden, you know, how to maybe own up to your gaffes, because if anything, it at least makes you more likable. But some of these candidates the Democrats are putting out, whether it's him, whether it's Grimes, I'm pretty sure you and Jim talked about the person they've chosen, Montana, to replace Walsh. If these were their Republican alternatives, sort of just these zany or always bumbling or just kind of these misspeaks, they would be considered, quote unquote, the face of the Republican Party. And people, you know, and the media would be trying them out. Look at these crazy right wingers. But not for whatever reason. We know why. But, you know, they're just sort of, you know, pushed aside and considered, oh, whatever. These are just so-so candidates. They're not reflective of grander whole. Because, I mean, again, these moments are pretty great moments just from a purely comedic standpoint. It's a shame the American public isn't as joined in as much as we are.
Well, we're trying to. We're trying to let them know about it. And
yeah, exactly.
Laugh right along with us. So, Andrew, always great to have you in for Jim. We'll talk to you later.
Take it easy. Thank you.
Andrew Johnson of National Review in for Jim Garrity today. Jim will be back on Friday. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us then for the next 3 Martini Lunch.